Hi, this is Pete Brown at PDC09, and I'm here with John Galloway. John is soon to be our newest team member, so tell me a little bit about yourself and what you've got here today.
Let me see. Well, the newest team member thing is I'm going to be joining the team and focusing on ASP.NET, so very excited about that.
Very cool.
I generally, for work, do mostly ASP type of work, but I also do a lot of Silverlight, and I've been wanting to learn WPF more over the past few years, and so that's part of how I got involved in this WIDI project.
What are some cool other projects that you've worked on that folks might recognize?
Let me see. I've contributed to Subtext. Not a lot, but I helped build in the OpenID support for Subtext mm-hmm. blog engine. I have...
This is your interview, man. Come on.
Yeah, all right. Let me see. Well, I didn't know I had the resume I could run through. One thing that I thought was kind of cool, there was a cropper screen capture system,
yep.
and so I wrote a bunch of plugins for it, and we basically started a cropper plugins thing on CodePlex. Another thing I did was this is kind of silly, but it's a very simple little shim that allows playing playlists, M3U playlists or PLS
yep.
playlists
yep.
in Windows Media Player.
Oh, cool.
And so basically you run the program, it registers the file type, and then it just parses the PLS file and turns it into something that Windows Media Player...
I think I could use that, actually, yeah. so I'll have to get it.
And it's very... It's, you know, 100 lines of code, but yep. it's had a crazy amount of downloads. I don't know. I stopped counting over a few hundred thousand, but, I mean, it's just linked from all these radio stations and all that. So
awesome.
That was kind of my first kind of, like... experiment with, like, oh man, I have to support this big app because a lot of people are running.
Right.
So
you've got WIDI here to show us, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about what WIDI is and kind of what the history is, and then we'll take a look.
Sure. Okay, so WIDI was started by Alan Lee at Vertigo, and mm-hmm. he started it, I believe, in 2007.
Yep.
And so it's an open source app, and as I was getting interested in Twitter, I started using it and contributing to it a little bit.
So 2000. So that was one of the early Twitter applications.
Yes, it was.
Weren't too many around in 2007.
No, there weren't. And you know, some of it shows in the application. We have a custom Twitter library, Twitter Lib, I believe, and it's back then there weren't other good solid libraries, and the API kept changing over time. Things would break. And so there was a lot of crazy code that we had, networking code that we had to write in order to make sure that, like, I remember Christmas Eve, they changed the API.
Right.
Broke, you know, and so Twitter was, WIDI was not working. So
and
I'm like frantically coding up a change, you know.
And Twitter wasn't known for being very stable back
no.
in 2007, 2008.
No, they were not, yeah.
It made testing really, really hard.
Yeah, although we could blame any bugs on that. Oh, Twitter.
That's true. They gave you an out. And it lets you check network outage testing.
Yeah,
really
yes.
well.
Yeah, definitely had to write fault-tolerant code. Of course, now... we've been moving towards Tweet Sharp,
yep.
And so that's been
that's
much nicer.
An open source library for is that open source?
It is.
Yeah,
it's yep. open source, and it supports Twitter, of course, but then it has support for a lot of other services, photo uploads, URL shortening,
right?
And it's got a nice fluent API. So instead of like tons of lines of begin web request and all that stuff, this is. It's very simple to just say, go get me this many tweets, and I'll just do it.
Cool. So let's take a look.
Sure. Okay. So it's a Click Once app.
All right. So it's a Click Once WPF app.
It is.
I think this was either the first or one of the first WPF Twitter applications, if I remember correctly.
So I didn't write this, although I've done some work on supporting it. So here we're just installing it. This is a custom splash image,
yep.
which is a great feature. I was happy that was added in. So now we're retrieving tweets. Hopefully nothing crazy on here.
The network here is about as stable as Twitter was back in 2007.
Right, right. So just for comparison, here's what it looked like in 2007. And they're similar, although one of the big things you'll notice is now it's Chromeless.
Yep.
You know, we've got linking for not just URLs, but also hashtags, usernames, and, you know.
And it looks nicer. It's had a little bit of a facelift.
Yeah. Now, and an interesting thing here we've got in the options, we have support for different skins. So if we want to go towards one that looks more like that, we still have, you notice it. Skin there.
So now the old version was built more It was less about how good it looked and more about like power users or something, right? I mean,
that's true. It really, well, now, so Alan started it.
Sorry, Alan, I didn't mean to diss your design.
So, but
I'm going to get a tweet bomb later.
Yeah, so Alan definitely, you know, learned things over time. I definitely learned quite a bit. As I was saying, I was learning as I was going, and I wanted to, you know, pick things up, so I did some things wrong
over right. time.
But, you know, when I say that it was focused on features, a lot of that was because we had committers who used it, they're .NET devs, and unlike most other Twitter clients, if you want something, you just have to put it on user voice and hope that they put it in. Well, with Witty, you want a feature, you can contribute a patch. We've had probably a couple hundred patches.
Great.
And people would go in and create some, in some cases, very complex features, like the ability to, you know, only alert me for these list of users with a pop-up, or always ignore, you know, certain things. I put in a feature that I wanted during the election time frame.
Yeah.
I put in a regular expression-based filter. So I could say, filter out these terms. I'm not interested, you know.
Right.
And also a highlighter. So it would say, highlight anything containing the word Silverlight or, you know, ASP.NET or, you know, that kind of thing. So
very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, there have been plenty of times when you get like a long-going rant discussion
yes.
that you're like, all right,
well,
I just need to filter this
and
out.
And that brings, can I show this feature
sure.
here? This is another one. So a feature I added was temporarily ignore a user. And so you notice here I've got tweet meme, nothing against them, but for now I've just said temporarily ignore them.
So cover your ears and la la la
yes.
la feature.
And so it's a half hour.
Yep.
And it's a mute button for that person. Puts them on timeout, and then later they'll come on back. So.
You know what? I think I'm going to have to go back to using Witty because I could really use that feature. Somehow.
One other fun feature we've added, although it's very difficult to get completely right, is conversations. So it's as you
yeah.
were saying, you get these people in threads. Well, if you are interested, sometimes I'll just mute the conversation and then later go back and say, show me the conversation and read it in line, threaded. Mm-hmm. So.
And that's a non-trivial thing to implement, right? Because Twitter,
yes.
you know, folks don't always reply. They just, like, start a new post, and then, you know, Twitter, I'm not sure, does Twitter keep anything to link the IDs together? Or?
Twitter, actually, there's a hole if you look at the hashtag fix replies.
Yeah.
They change the way replies work. And so they hide replies if you're not following both people.
Yep.
And so some people don't use the reply feature because they want their replies to be public.
Mm-hmm.
And some people do, some people don't, so it's very difficult. We ended up, Sarah Chips contributed some code for that, and
right.
we had some things where we just went through and just kind of followed those two people and tried to parse out the conversation.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I saw Sarah around here today with a big pink streak through her hair or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I always thought that was just part of her avatar, like maybe, you know.
Right.
Like, oh no, she actually does have some pink in the hair.
So what else do we have to see here?
Let me see. Well, I'll show here in the options. We've got some things for like different URL shortening services.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about retweets. So here we have support for different retweet characters, which is kind of cool. And reply prefixes. Notification.
And the reply prefix is to deal with that whole change in the way that
yes.
it's
yep.
right?
Here we have some more complicated notification things. And then in tweets, here's where I was talking about, you know, so if I say highlight tweets that contain the word whatever, and it'll, you know, that's where I would filter those out.
Okay.
So
yeah. You had mentioned the different URL shortening things that you have there.
Yeah.
So I think you had some code or something I could take a peek at.
Yeah, I wanted to show, and this is kind of before and after, where here I'm really just showing the before.
Yeah.
This is a very unsophisticated, you know, case where we've just got, now we do persist all this, obviously, but in user settings, but the idea here is we've just got an enum and we've got a list of services, and then based on which one you pick, you know, we'll go in and fill that in.
Okay.
And so I've been talking over time with Glenn Block about moving to MEF for that. So the idea would be you just import a service, and the upgrade or the way to add that service in is just drop in DLL.
Yeah, so I think MEF would be a good thing for Glenn to, you know, filter on there. So
yes, and that
he
also
hears the word. I think I said MEF over here, and he was on the other side of
right,
the conference.
Right, your ears pricked up.
Yes, yeah.
One other thing too is we've got some support for skinning,
mm-hmm.
but it's not easy for a designer or just somebody who wants to contribute a skin.
Yeah,
and so. we've been looking at that also with the idea of using Meth to just allow loading of views. And one cool thing with that is we've been looking at using collapsible or adaptive views, so that when you've got a full screen, you get kind of the tweet deck effect with multiple columns and all that. And then when you shrink it down, you go to one. So that was something Adam Kinney turned me on to PhotoSuru.
Yep.
And so I've looked through the code on that about how that's implemented.
I go back and forth on whether full screen is good or not. I have a whole monitor at my house dedicated to a different Twitter client right at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's kind of painful sometimes.
I personally prefer the kind of all-in-one view most of the time.
Yep.
I like kind of a simple one, and we do threading, so you get your replies, your direct messages, and all that's in line, and then support for conversations and that sort of thing just via those menu items. But we have been, a lot of people like the tweet deck, multiple columns, and it's something for conference or something where that would be great. So.
Right. Yeah. So you mentioned Meth and a couple other things here. What else is next for you guys?
Well, the big thing we're excited about is Silverlight. With Silverlight 4 announcement of out-of-browser support that allows elevation.
Yep.
So now Twitter has always had cross-domain restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't allow connecting to the API directly from Silverlight. And Silverlight respects their restrictions. And so because it's running as a browser app.
Yep.
As soon as now with Silverlight 4, without a browser elevation, we'll be able to do everything I just showed. So we're able to talk to the API, also the custom Chrome, all these great effects.
Yep.
And of course, that gives us a simpler install,
mm-hmm.
and it gives us a cross platform.
Yeah.
So
something like Silverlight being cross platform and being very internet oriented to begin with, I mean, it makes a ton of sense because this is an internet application.
Right. Exactly. So on the scale of the continuum of WPF to Silverlight, this really is a lightweight internet focused app.
Yep.
It kind of does seem to make sense.
And you're competing against folks that have simple one click installs, no client side framework. So definitely this is good.
And the idea of being able to do an update that's click once with WPF definitely works, but for an internet-focused, rapid-changing kind of thing, it would be nice to be able to just move that towards the Silverlight approach.
Cool. Well, thanks for your time here, and I'll give you an advanced welcome aboard.
So, thank you very much.
Thank you.